presence of the Lord. Thank you, Cade, for giving of your time and your skill to bring us closer. And again, I'm just going to say it again. It's good to have some live music back. So thank you, Cade. And I'm not just saying that because you're my son. I really enjoy it. And it's good to have our young people active and participating in the church. Amen. And not as a show and not as to perform, but as to just glorify God. Amen. Just to glorify God for who He is and for what He's done. So I'm just so thankful that we have that ministry. If you would, turn in your Bibles today to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. I'm going to be ministering through verses 22 to 38. We're not going to read all that this morning. Time we don't have the time to go through and read all that, but I'm going to do my best to kind of bring out what's there. So if you would go home and just go back and kind of read 1 Chronicles chapter 12, 22 through 38. We'll specifically be focusing on verses 22, 23, and then 38, and then one verse in 1 Corinthians 3 and 3. So 1 Corinthians 3 and 3. In 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 22, the word of the Lord says, "For at that time, day by day, there came to David to help him until it was a great host, like the host of God. And there are the numbers of the bands that were ready armed to war, and came to David to Hebron to turn the kingdom of Saul to him according to the word of the Lord." And if you skip down to verse 38, it says, "All these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart to Hebron to make David king over all of Israel. All the rest also of Israel were of one heart making David king." And then if you would turn over to 1 Corinthians 3:3, it says, "For ye are yet carnal. For whereas is among you envying and strife and division, yet ye are not carnal and walk as men?" And ministering for just a few moments this morning on the topic of making Christ king, can we pray? Father God, we thank you, Lord Jesus. We're asking for your anointing right now. We're asking for the power of your Holy Spirit to enter into this building and enter into our lives, Lord Jesus, to activate the power of God that is in us, Lord Jesus, that you would open up our minds, that you would open up our hearts, Lord Jesus, that you would prepare us, Lord Jesus, for what you have today, Lord God. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, and we're asking that you would send the preacher, that you would send the teacher, that you would send the anointing that is needed, Lord Jesus, for the word that is being given today, Lord Jesus. And we thank you in your precious name. Amen and amen. He died on January 28th of 814. Many years later, archaeologists discovered the tomb of Charlemagne, the great king, the great emperor of France. When the tomb was opened after being closed for several centuries, the men entered and found something amazing. They found certain treasures, of course, of his kingdom. But at the center of this large burial vault, at the center of this tomb, was a marble throne. And seated in the throne was the remains of Charlemagne. But that wasn't the great thing, as interesting as that was. When they went up and they examined what was there, they saw that in his lap was a Bible. And his finger had been placed in the Bible to Matthew 18:26. And Matthew 18:26 says, For what shall profit a man if he shall gain the whole world but lose his own soul?" Charlemagne there in death, a Bible in his lap, pointing out something that would reign out through history, being found several centuries later. But we have a similar thing being spoken to the church today. What God wants to do in the church today is a picture of what we read in 1 Chronicles. It's what God wants to do in the church today. It's what God is doing in the church today. It's going to take men and women of the Spirit, walking by the Spirit, not by the flesh, to advance the kingdom of God. It's going to take helpers walking by the Spirit, people walking after Jesus Christ and not walking after the world, not walking after what they shall profit, but walking after what they shall gain when they get to heaven, walking after what Christ is giving them, walking after what Christ has promised them. In this age, in this time, those type of people are not going to be a majority. They're not going to be several of them. There's not going to be a great crowd, a great influx of those people who truly want to follow after Christ. But there always is going to be a remnant. There's always going to be enough that hold Jesus Christ up for who he is and for what he's done. Today in the body of Christ, we're dividing into two separate parts, two separate camps, if you will. Just as in the day of our text that we read in 1 Chronicles. One camp promoting the house of Saul. One camp following after the world. A type of flesh, a type of carnality, a type of self activating in those people. The other, following after the house of David. Those that would make Jesus Christ king. Those that will still call upon the name of Jesus Christ and set him first and walk after his spirit and follow his leading and his guiding. David, pictured here, was a type of Jesus Christ. He was a type of our heavenly Jesus, king over all of Israel. David being a king at that time and Jesus Christ being the true king over Israel. Not only Israel, the king of this world and the king of our hearts. This is the camp of David, the camp of Jesus that understands what God is doing at a specific time. This is a camp that is spiritual, a camp that is not carnal, a camp that is not chasing after flesh. They want to promote Christ above all religion. They want to promote Christ above all flesh. They want to promote Christ above all the things that this world may give them, all the profit they may gain in this fleshly life. They want to uphold not their religion for Christ, but their relationship with Christ. Above all else, they want relationship, not religion. Above all else, they want relationship, not worldly gifts and worldly things and not flesh. Again, a minority, a small amount of people, but with God behind it, with them placing Jesus Christ in the proper place, with them upholding this word and upholding what Jesus Christ has done on the cross, such a mighty move can happen with a small minority of people. My purpose in this message this morning is to ask you to move in your heart, to move in your mind, and have you examine yourself and see what camp that you would belong to, see what camp that you've joined to. If we join to the camp that is promoting David, if we're exhibiting the attributes of Christ, the attributes of Jesus, the attributes of David's army that we see in 1 Chronicles, we have to make a choice. And in the time of our text, a choice had to be made. David was running from Saul. And again, I don't have time to go through everything that happened there, but I'm going to do my best to take us through and help us understand what was happening. David running from Saul was concluded by Saul's death. And it was concluded by Saul's sons in battles with the Philistines. And at this point in time, the people of Israel had to make a choice. Do they choose to continue to uphold the house of Saul? Do they choose to continue to uphold flesh? Do they choose to continue to uphold this carnality, these things of the world, this prophet that they have known under Saul? Or do they turn to the true ruler of Israel, David? Do they turn to the true ruler of Israel, David, a shadow, a foretelling of Jesus Christ? The house of Saul was established having been given a chance by God to do the right thing. Yet Saul in his flesh, Saul in his carnality, chose to go the wrong way. He chose to do the wrong thing. And that's a picture of the unbeliever today, going the wrong way, doing the wrong thing. That's a picture of the believer that hasn't placed Christ first in their life. The believer that chooses to follow after his own will. The believer that chooses to follow after his own flesh. The believer that tries to find profit in things of this world without setting Christ in the proper place, without putting their confidence in Jesus Christ, without putting their faith in Jesus Christ. You see, we're given a chance. We're given a chance, and God only asks one thing, that we put our faith in him and that we follow his leading and his guiding. And Saul was given that same chance, but he didn't do it. He chose to go his own way. In essence, the house of Saul again represents religion of today, a misrepresentation of God's character, a misrepresentation of who God is and what he's like, a misrepresentation of God's power, of what God asks of humanity, of what God can do for humanity. You see, God will shower you with gifts. If you follow Him, if you go after Him, He will give you exceedingly and abundantly all things. You say, well, Brother Chris, how do you know that? Because His Word tells me that. It might not be the exceedingly abundantly things that this world tells me that I need to have, but He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. He'll always provide for me, and He's always there when I need Him. And these things of the world, when He does provide them, we'll come to realize that they're just things of this world. They're things that, when we get there, when we find out what Charlemagne found out, aren't of any account of all at all. You see, the place of Saul, it's not a favorable place. It's not a nice place to be. It's not fulfilling and it's not secure. It's a place of flesh. It's a place of pride. It's a place of self. It's a place where men simply promote people. They simply promote promotion. They simply go out and promote flesh above all else. They promote pride above all else. They puff themselves and they puff each other up above all else. And they hold themselves up far above God. They make their self, they put their self in a place that is above Jesus Christ, above God, above the Spirit of the Lord. And they place their self above and they think that they can do exceedingly above simply on their own, simply on their own acts. This is the house of Saul. This is the house of the world. The house of Saul was established. And when it's established, especially in religion, it's very difficult to dislodge, to take down the house of Saul. We see it in churches across America today, across the world today, religion being puffed up. Across all denominations, across all peoples, across all countries of the world, religion being held up. The ways of man being held up. The ways of man overriding what this word says. The ways of flesh and of pride going over and above what Christ has told us to do. Placing certain things in its place or certain ways or certain activities over what God has told us to do. Again, this is the house of Saul, the house of religion, the house of the world. But this house of religion will always attract more followers than the house of David, the house of Jesus Christ, that will be more loyal to it than the true house of Jesus Christ, because it promotes self, and self likes more self, and pride likes more pride. The house of David is the house where the Spirit of God reigns free, where the Spirit of God is divided correctly and rightly by the Word of God, where believers come together and they put their faith in God, they put their faith in Jesus Christ, and they choose to believe what Jesus Christ says, what this Word of the Lord says above all else. They choose not to follow man's ways. They choose to follow the characteristics of God. They choose to seek out who He is and what He's done. This is the house of David. This is the house of God, where the Spirit of God provides freedom and the Spirit of God provides liberty to accomplish, to perform that which God wants to perform on this earth, that which the Spirit of God wants to perform in this world, that which the Holy Spirit wants to do and to provide in your life. The opportunity to make Jesus king, to make David king, as we see here in our scripture, to make Jesus supreme, to make Him a true King of kings and a true Lord of lords. In religion, Jesus Christ is not supreme. In religion, in carnality, God is not placed above all else. In the church that was last noted in Revelation, we see Christ outside asking to come in. Jesus is not supreme in that church. And by the word of the Lord, we see that that's where religion is going to put Christ outside, knocking, trying to come in. I'm here to tell you this morning that I don't want to be in a church where Christ has to ask permission to come in. I don't want to be in the church where we have to unlock the door so Jesus Christ can come in. I don't want to be in a church where we have to ask permission, where we have to beg and plead, where Christ has to come in and forcibly open the door and come in. I want to be at a church where His Spirit is freely flowing. His Word is freely flowing. The truth of this gospel is being preached. That's where I want to be. This is the house of David. This is the house of Jesus Christ. but he has to be supreme. And those who want him to be supreme have to pursue him with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their mind. They don't want religion. Again, they're looking for relationship. They've been instructed correctly. They've been taught the characteristics of God. They've been taught the precepts of this word. They've been taught the true doctrine of Jesus Christ. Based upon his rock, his church was built. And all those other doctrine built on top of that. They've been taught correctly by pastors and preachers who have a love for this word and not a love for money. They've been taught correctly by gifted teachers of the word who have expounded on this word, who have showed them Jesus Christ in every line and every page of this word. The choice is then as it is now. Do we go to the house of Saul, the house of flesh, the house of religion, the house of pride, the house of activity? Or do we pursue Christ? Do we choose to have a relationship with him? Do we choose to block out the things that this world would give us, the profit that this world might offer us, the religion that the different types of different doctrines of this world would give us, the religion of man? Do we choose to block it out, or do we choose to make Saul king? That's the choice that we have to make. Or do we allow Christ to sit down in his proper throne, in his proper seat? Do we allow him to come into our heart and life and take up residence as he wants to do? You see, when you came to God, when you asked for salvation, that's what you were asking him to do, was to come and set up residence in your life. You see, when you go out and you get a new place to live, you get an apartment or you get a new house or you go somewhere, you set up a residence and you begin to set up the things that you like, don't you? You begin to arrange the furniture you want. You might go in and paint the walls the color that you want. You might change some things in the house. You see, that's a type of what God is doing in you. You see, the previous things that were there, he's taken out. He's taken out to the trash. He's bringing in new furniture. He's repainting the walls, if you will. He's going in and washing out the windows. He's going in and maybe doing a little remodeling. And sometimes that remodeling is good, and sometimes we look forward to it. But many times when we start walking after his spirit, the remodeling hurts, doesn't it? The remodeling brings out things that we don't necessarily like. It shows us pictures. It shows us the person that we have to look at in the mirror. And it says, I'm going to remove this from you. This thing that you are, I'm going to take it from you, but I'm going to replace it. And it's going to be all of Jesus. It's going to be all of me. It's going to be all of my spirit. And those things that you were worried about, those things that you thought were so ugly, those things that you were concerned about, he's going to remodel and take it out of your life. In studying the commentary on this, I see some interesting characteristics. I see some comparisons that we can bring out and that we can make between David and Jesus. We see that David would actually be anointed king three times. Three times David would be anointed a king. First, by Samuel. Second, by this group at Hebron that we read about. And third, 7 years later, David was anointed and accepted being king over all of Israel. The life of David, again, represents a picture, a foreshadow of Jesus Christ. You see, in Jesus' first anointing, he would represent Christ coming in his first advent, where very few would accept him. We look back on the prophets of old and we see very few patriarchs or prophets of old that actually accepted the gift of faith and grace. In his second advent, we had a little bit more accept Jesus Christ, but we saw many refuse him. And most importantly, we saw religion refuse Jesus Christ in his second advent. We saw religion put him on the cross and try to do away with him. And in the third advent, all will accept. The Bible tells us that every knee shall bow to Jesus Christ. Amen. All will accept him, especially when he sets up his throne in Jerusalem. When he comes down and he wins the victory. When he comes down to this earthly body from his heavenly seat and sets up his throne in this earth. The first and second advents were a time of trial, a time of persecution, a time of testing. And that's a picture to the believer, because we go through a time of trial, don't we? We go through a time of persecution. We go through a time of testing. And what this time period is, sometimes we don't know. And sometimes this time of testing pops its head back up, doesn't it? Sometimes when we get to the point where we think we've arrived as Christians, as believers, that testing time comes back up. That trial comes back up. And God begins to test us again on a different level. Only a few would come to true relationship with God. That relationship that is provided by Jesus Christ. In this time, in this day, in this age, really if we would separate the numbers, only a few are truly coming to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Only a few are really accepting Him for who He is and for what He's done. Only a few are finding victory through what Jesus did on the cross. If we would look at the ratio, if we would do the statistics on it, you would see that it's only a few. In this comparison, we see that, again, we are never going to be the majority. We, this body in the house of David, the house of Jesus Christ, the house that is following after Christ, the house that is setting pride aside, that is setting flesh aside, that's saying, God, it's none of me and it's all of you. You see, it's going to be the minority. We're not going to be the majority. If we're in the camp of David, if we're in the camp of Jesus Christ, if we're following after Him, if we're seeking Christ, we're never going to be the majority. This church, this ministry, you see, we've taken a vow, we've taken an oath to Jesus Christ and say, we're not going to go after flesh. We're not going to go after pride. We're going to follow your word. We're going to read your word. We're going to study your word. We're going to teach your word. We're going to preach your word from the pulpit, from the music, to the little kids, to the nursery, to the teenagers. We're going to preach the same thing, Jesus Christ. You see, we've made that commitment and we've stood upon the rock of Jesus Christ and we said, we're not going to stand in the house of Saul. We're going to come over and we're going to stand in the house of David. Well, how do you know that? How can you say that, Brother Chris? How can you point that out? Well, let's look at some of the attributes that Saul has. First of all, in the house of Saul, you're going to have to make Saul king. You're going to have to take man and make him king. You're going to have to take flesh and you're going to have to take pride and you're going to have to promote that above all else because that's what happens in the house of Saul. You're going to have to elevate religion. You're going to have to elevate position. You're going to have to elevate the importance of individuals above all else. That's what happens in the house of Saul. That's what happens in the house of religion. In today's religious circle, Saul is dominant. The house of Saul is dominant. But you know what? With the message of Jesus Christ, with the message of this gospel, Saul is dying. Again, not the majority, sometimes and most of the time, a minority. But if this message is preached correctly, if this message is portrayed correctly, if Christ is brought out in the forefront of every message, of every song, of every gospel thing, of every tradition that we do in the church, the house of Saul cannot reign. Pride is going to be wiped out. Flesh is going to be wiped out. Profit in this world is going to be wiped out. Amen? That's a good time to say amen. God's doing something, church. It's a small bunch, I know. I get it. I understand. But God is moving. And He's bringing that small few back together to follow after Him, to follow after His Word, to follow after Jesus Christ. And He's beginning to move and work in this world. Saul is dying because Saul does not provide freedom. Saul does not take the believer to a place of victory. He takes them to a place of destruction. You see, because when the house of Saul is done using you, when it's done promoting you, when it's done elevating you, and it's taken everything that you have as a person, as a human, as a pseudo-believer, it simply does away with you. After it takes everything that you have, your very soul, it simply discards you like trash. That's what the house of Saul promotes. We find in the house of Saul, again, flesh, a type of religion, a type of carnality. The attributes of this camp are messages that do not hold up Jesus Christ, are messages that tell people that they no longer have to be born again, that they can be halfway saved, that they can believe everything in this word, yet believe everything in the world, that they can believe universally that God is in all religion, that they can believe universally that I don't have to believe in God. It's okay. We don't want to offend you. Come and be with us. They're not preaching that sin is their problem. They're not preaching that Jesus Christ is the only way to victory. They're not teaching that this word has to be held up above all things. They're not teaching that Jesus Christ and Him crucified is the only way to find victory in their life and in this world. You see, they've shoved it off to the wayside. They're not teaching relationship with God. They're teaching relationship and promoting religion with them, with their denomination, with their body, with their pastor, preacher, with whatever it is they're doing at the time. It's no longer telling man that he is a sinner, that he's separated from God, that he's a fallen being. All it's doing is saying, you have to show up. You have to be busy. It doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter what you're going to do. Just come and give of what you have. Your money, your talent, whatever you have, come and give it. But it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. And it doesn't matter because we're not going to talk about it. That's what the house of Saul is preaching today. All you have to do is be active. All you have to do is say, I'm a part of this, or I'm a part of that, or I'm doing this, or I've shown up because of this. The house of Saul neglects the needs of man. It neglects the uttermost need of man needing a Savior. The need that man needs salvation, the need that man has lost his very soul, the need that man needs his redemption. It presents man as someone who is just good. You're good. It presents man as someone who's capable. It's fine. You can do that, sure. It presents man as someone who is elevated. It presents man as someone who is above God, someone who doesn't need a Savior. I'm here to tell you this morning that I need a Savior, that I can't do it on my own, that I'm not elevated enough to find my own righteousness. I'm not good enough in my fleshly state to find my righteousness. I'm not good enough to find the grace of God. But you know what? His mercy and grace provided it for me at the cross. And if I'll simply place my faith in Him, He'll give me the mercy and grace, and He'll start me on that walk in His Spirit. The house of Saul focuses upon what they belong to. Again, Saul being a type of religion, a type of flesh, a type of pride, a type of carnality. In 1 Corinthians 3:3, Paul says, For are you not yet carnal? For whereas there is among you envy, strife, division, are you not carnal and walk as men? You see, without Jesus Christ in my life, I'm carnal. Without Jesus Christ, without the Spirit of God living in me, I have envy, I have strife, I have division. And these are the things I make as a human without Jesus Christ living in me. The house of Saul walks in pride. The house of Saul walks carnally. They present themselves as being important because of who they are or what they're associated with. Who they are or what they're associated with. You see, I'm not associated with anything on this world. I'm associated with Jesus Christ. I'm going to hold Him up above all things. This is not what the house of Saul does. This is what the house of Christ does. The house of Saul holds up their own works and their own pride and their own position. And they say, well, I am this and I am that. And this is my title and that's my title. And again, don't leave here saying all titles are bad. I'm not saying that. But when a person stands up before you and says, well, I'm a prophet. Well, how do you know that person's a prophet? Well, I'm a teacher. Well, how do you know that person? Well, I'm this or I'm that. Is that gift truly being portrayed in that person? Has the Spirit of God witnessed in you the gift that's in that person? See, if that person really has that gift, they're not going to have to stand before you and say, well, I'm this or that, are they? You're going to know because the Spirit of God is going to make a connection between you, and you'll know what's going on. Again, I've said it before. I've been in weird places and sat down and start talking to somebody, and I can immediately know that that person is a believer. I can immediately know that that person is saved. I can immediately know that that person knows Jesus Christ because, you see, He draws us together as His family. And we know those who follow Him. We know who we are in God, and we can point out those characteristics of God. Just like the church in 1 Corinthians 1 who said, I'm of Saul. Or I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cyprus. They walk carnally regarding their relationship with God. Church, we've got to be careful today that we do not walk in pride, that we do not walk in flesh, that we do not walk carnally after the things of this world. Again, we have to be in this world. We have to operate in this world. We have to get up every day and do what God has called us to do and go to our job or do whatever it is we do. But we do not have to act the way the world acts. We do not have to participate in what the world participates in because He's called us out. He's called you out this morning to be different, to come out of this world, to come out of the house of Saul, to come out of the house of religion and follow after His Spirit. They walk carnally regarding their relationship with God. Their relationship with God is regarded as regarded salvation and sanctification based on what they do. Based on their performance, based on simply how they act, based on who they are, based on what their position is on this in this world, based on their position in the church. That's what they base their sanctification and their salvation on. They base their sanctification and their salvation on what they've done for humanity this week. What they've done for humanity this week. You see, the best thing I can do standing behind a pulpit preaching or teaching to you is point you to Jesus Christ. That's the only thing I can do. You see, I can't do anything in myself to elevate you. I can't do anything in myself to draw you closer to God. I can't, to be on all honesty, I can't make you do anything, can I? I've got you for a few hours on a Sunday morning and an hour on a Wednesday night. You know what? It takes true relationship with Jesus Christ to follow Him. It takes Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God, working in you to bring you back to this place. It takes Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, working in you to give you a love for this Word, to make you want to know who Jesus Christ is, to make you want to know who God is. That's the Spirit of God working in you. But that's not what we find in the house of Saul. That's not what we find. You see, simply going out and doing, that's not ministry. Do we need to minister? Yes, this Word has called us to minister. This Word has called us to go out and do things. This Word has caused us to give to the widow and to the poor and to give to those in need and to go out and spread this gospel, not Chris's gospel, not Crossway's gospel, Jesus Christ's gospel. It's called us to do that. Simply going out and doing, I'm sorry to tell you, I'm sorry to hurt your feelings this morning, that's not ministry. It's not ministry unless Jesus Christ is the one doing the ministering. Amen? In everything that we do, we need to draw people. We need to show people. We need to bring out Jesus Christ, His character, His person, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, in everything that we do if we're going to call it ministry. Because if we're not going to do that, if we're not going to make a choice that ministry is based on Jesus Christ and Him alone, then it's just simply good works. And you're not going to find salvation. You're not going to find sanctification. You're not going to find victory or freedom based on your good works. Activity are the events surrounded by the carnal mind, Romans 8 and 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. The camp of Saul walks with the idea that we can fight with carnal weapons, that we can fight with weapons of the world, that we can go out and we can put on camouflage and we can put on boots and we can point each way and do different things. That's craziness. The camp of Saul goes out and says, well, we can just go surround a building and pray for it and everything's going to happen. We can go and we can do. Now, I'm not saying that God hasn't called us to go out and pray for our neighborhood. Amen. I'm not saying that God hasn't called us to come into our church and pray at our church. I'm not saying that God hasn't, maybe it was some time or another, told you to go and pray in front of somebody's house. But you know what? You on your own, you doing that thing is not activating the will of God. You get what I'm saying? You're not forcing God's hand to do anything. God, if you're walking in the Spirit, you're yielding to His Spirit and doing what He's telling you to do. It's a whole different mindset than what religion gives us. He tells us that we do not fight after carnal weapons. 2 Corinthians 10 and 3 says, for though we walk after flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of this warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The pulling down of strongholds. Do you know what those strongholds are? Anything in your life, no matter how big, no matter how small. Maybe it's a family situation. Maybe it's a job situation. Maybe it's a financial situation. Maybe it's a I don't get along with my friend situation. Maybe it's I don't do this or I don't do that, or I need to be over here, or Lord, I want any stronghold. Maybe it's something you're struggling with. Maybe it's a sin in your life that you need to overcome. Victory is found through Jesus Christ. Victory is found through placing your faith exclusively in Him, putting your confidence exclusively in Him, and calling upon Him. Maybe it's something that we wouldn't say is a sin, but yet you struggle with it. It's a stronghold. And we cannot fight it simply by walking after the flesh, simply by walking in carnal minds. The house of Saul tries to bring freedom and deliverance through carnal methods. We're going to take you to an encounter meeting. It sounds good, don't it? You guys want to go to an encounter? I want my encounter to be with Jesus Christ. And you know what? I don't have to go to a specific place or a specific meeting or a specific church or a specific this or that to find an encounter. He found the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, and he knocked him off his horse. If he can do that to him, don't you think he can do that to me? If I'm somewhere where I shouldn't be, don't you think he can't reach down and tell me, Chris, you don't need to be there. You don't need to be doing that thing. Don't you think he can't knock me off my prideful horse and tell me to follow after him and not follow after this world? Don't you think he can do the same thing for you? You see, I don't need an encounter. He might tell you that, well, you have to fast so many days. Again, fasting is good. Fasting is it's biblical. It's in the Word of God. But you're not going to move the hand of God simply because you chose to do without a few calories for a few days. If God tells you to fast, if he speaks to your heart, if he speaks to your spirit, fast. Do what he tells you. But don't fast and try to move the hand of God. The spirit, the house of Saul might say, we're going to lay hands on you. We're going to force God's anointing on you. The anointing of God is given from God. It's not given from a man. It's not given from a believer. It's not given from an elder. The anointing is not passed on that way. Again, the laying on of hands is in this Bible. It's spiritual. But believe me, that's just the faith action. Nothing is being imparted from me to you. It's being imparted from God. God can heal you just as much at the front of this altar as he can heal you in your bed. He can reach down and touch you and move upon you. He doesn't need me or you to do his will. We're simply yielding to what he tells us to do and following. Do not put your faith in the thing in those things. That's what the house of Saul puts their faith in. There's only one way to deliverance. Only one way to find victory. Only one way to find freedom. And that's when those that are bound place their faith in Jesus Christ and who he is and what he's done and find true victory and true freedom. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. But the house of Saul, this is what they promote. Carnality is what they depend on. Your flesh and your pride is what they depend on. That you can buy something, you can do something, you can work hard enough to get something. Well, if you just send in and get Pastor Big Buck's prayer cloth, sounds like a good deal, doesn't it? I get a prayer cloth and all my sins are wiped away. I get a prayer cloth and laid on my car and it'll start again. Believe me, I believe if your car's broken down, I believe God can fix it. I've been in some times before where my car has not worked right and I did nothing and that car started, but it wasn't from a prayer cloth, amen? They might say, well, if you just send in to Reverend Lightning Bolt and if you just get to the $500 level, if you'll just get to the $1,000 level, if you'll just put it on a credit card, if you'll just max out everything, if you'll just take out a mortgage on your house and give it to this ministry, that's not God's way, church. That's not God's way. We are, as believers and as Christians and as members of this body, supposed to give, but we're supposed to do it in the right way. And God is never going to ask those things of you. You sending in, you trying to get to a certain level with God is not what he wants. He may indeed tell you to give $1,000. He may indeed tell you to give $5,000, $10,000. He might do that. But you giving that, it's not going to gain you anything on your own. Your yielding is what he wants. Your yielding is what he longs for. You following after his spirit in everything that you do is what he longs for. You simply doing, this is what the house of Saul does. No, No, this is what we cannot do. If we walk after the Spirit, if we walk after Christ, if we claim Christ as King, call out to Him. Call out on that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Ask Him for what you need, and I guarantee you He will provide it. I can stand before you this morning and guarantee you He will provide it. He will give you what you need. It might not be tomorrow. It might not be when this church service is over. It might not be after you get done eating at the restaurant today. It might take some time. But no, if you lifted that need up to Him, He is working on it. He is working with you. For whatever reason, put your faith in Him. Don't try to use logic, and know that He is working for your best. He loves you, and He is there for you. We're not accepted because of our works. We're not accepted because of our pride, because of what we've done. We're not accepted because we go to church at Crossway Community Church. We're not accepted because we believe this or we believe that. We're not accepted because we believe the message of the cross. We're accepted because our faith is in Jesus Christ. The message of the cross is Jesus Christ, but our faith has got to be in Him. Our faith has got to be solely in who He is, what He's done, the work that He totally completed on that cross. And at that point, we can say our faith is in Jesus Christ, the message of the cross, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're not set free. We're not liberated because of the events that we encounter. We're not set free because of the places that we go or the things we do. We're not set free because the things that we attempt to do for God out of our own flesh. That's all carnality. That's all pride. That's all flesh. That's all us with the wrong impression of who God is, not knowing His character, not knowing what He's asking for. You see, to understand what He's asking for, we have to understand the attributes of Christ, the attributes of what He asks for. That's why it's so important that we read and understand who He is and what He's done, that we understand mercy in the Old Testament, that we understand grace in the New Testament, that we understand that Jesus Christ pictured and foreshadowed throughout this entire Word of God. In every doctrine of this Bible, we see Jesus Christ. You see, the house of David demands that every member be truly born again, that truly finds Jesus Christ, that truly accepts Him for who He is and for what He's done. That's what the house of David, that's what Jesus Christ expects from us, that they admit that they are a sinner in need of a Savior, that they be brought into the kingdom of God only through Jesus Christ because He is the only doorway. That they believe totally in God's redemption plan. That they believe that He is their substitute. That He is the one that was put on the cross for them. And that their sins are forgiven. And that victory is found in Him. You see, the house of Saul demands this. Those that walk into the house of Saul, they want to make Jesus, I'm sorry, those that walk into the house of David, the house of Christ, they want to make Jesus King. They want to do it out of love for Him, true love, not out of what they're going to get, not out of works, not out of their pride. They simply love Christ for who He is and for what He's done for them. And they don't look to gain anything out of it. They yield themselves, they yield their members to Jesus Christ, to what He's done for Him, for that sacrifice that was paid, to that plan of God that was set into motion before time, allowing God to give them the power that they need. The Holy Spirit working in their life, leading and guiding and motivating them to yield towards Christ through His Holy Spirit, the process of faith and grace. When we approach relationship with God, relationship with Christ in this way, the power of the Holy Spirit begins to work in us. When we come to God and we say, God, it's all about You. Jesus, my faith is in You. Jesus, it's all of You and none of me. It's not about my pride. It's not about my flesh. It's not about my carnality. It's all of You. Then the Holy Spirit begins to have freedom to work in the believer's life. When we present ourselves at the foot of the cross, the finished work of Calvary, God's true redemption plan, the Holy Spirit then has freedom to begin working in us and moving in us to create the relationship that Jesus Christ wants. You see, we come together this morning and we participate in a religious activity. But I'm here to tell you This is not a religious activity. This is relationship. Knowing God for who He is and for what He's done. Knowing deep down inside of you, in your heart, in your soul, that Pastor Chris didn't do it for you. That Pastor Greg didn't do it for you. That Pastor Big Bucks didn't send you the prayer cloth. That Pastor Lightning Bolt, even though you might have messed up and sent the money, he's not the one. Knowing in your soul that Jesus Christ is the one that did it in you. That Jesus Christ is the one that reached down and touched your heart and touched your mind and forgave you of your sin and provided everything you need to work and to move and to find victory in your life. You see, that's what the house of Christ demands. That's what the house of David demands. If we're running to Christ, if we're running to His finished work on the cross, if we want to make Christ king, we have to be born again. We have to be filled with His Spirit. We have to be free from sin and debt. We have to be victorious. But we have to understand that we can do none of this on our own. That this was all provided for us at the foot of the cross. At His death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. This is what paid the price so we could have all these things. We have to come through Jesus Christ, the slain Lamb of God. But this morning, the choice is yours. I know many in this house, and I already know what your choice is. But there might be some listening by CD. There might be some in this building that haven't heard this message before. There might be some that are going to download this off the internet several weeks, several months, years from now. You see, we have to make a choice. Do we run to the house of Saul? Do we try to elevate? Do we try to promote flesh? Do we try to stand up on our titles and our works? You see, it appeals to many. Again, we're the minority, not the majority. If we look around religious actions today, we see this happening. Or will you be a part of the house of Christ, this house of David that we're making a comparison to, the kingdom of God? Will you be a part of those who truly want to make Jesus king, who have set him first in their lives, who truly walk after the Spirit and not after things of this world? You see, the attributes of those that want to make Jesus king, the attribute that we see is God making you a man or a woman of His Spirit. A man or a woman walking after His Spirit, longing after His Spirit. In your flesh, in your sin, walking after the Spirit, holding close to Him, knowing that He's already paid the price for you, knowing that He is going to take that thing away from you, knowing that He is going to provide victory where victory is needed. Amen? Truly putting your faith in Jesus Christ, not just having an event, not just having an encounter, not just going to a revival service and getting pumped up for a few weeks, all to see it washed away by one bad day. Those who truly follow after Him are not on a roller coaster ride. Those who truly follow after Him place Christ first on a great day, on a best day, on a good day, on an okay day, on a really bad day. They know who Jesus Christ is. They know where their faith has to be placed. They know deep in their heart, in their spirit, that He is there for them, that He loves them. And they're not there for anything but to make Him king. If that's in fact you this morning, you're pursuing after the house of God, the house that God has already prepared for you. If you're presenting yourself daily to Christ, daily to His redemption plan, daily to what God has provided, daily to His victory, submitting to the yielding and guiding of His Holy Spirit, God's grace, His effectual working in your life, He is working in you to build something in you, to change something in you, to perform a work that no man on this earth, that no program on this earth, that nothing on this earth can do in you. He's doing it in you. You can have faith in that this morning if you're following after Him, that He's doing it in you. You see, when you first came to Christ, you were discontent, you were in distress, you were in debt to sin. When you first came to Christ, you came for protection. You said, I'm fearful. I need you, Lord. Protect me from this debt that I know is against me. You relied entirely on who He is and what He's done. The thing that I'm trying to tell you this morning is you need to continue to rely on who He is and what He's done. There is nothing beyond Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian, if you're following after Him, Jesus Christ is found in every line of this Word, every page of this Word, every tradition of this Word, every doctrine of this Word, Jesus Christ. Everything you need in this life, in this world, is found by following Him. You entered into relationship with God. He's molding you. He's making you a part of His kingdom, a part of His family. He's molding you not so you can be blessed, not so you can just do whatever it is you want to do, not so you can be the finest you want to be, not so you can be the best person you can be today. Those are all catchy, aren't they? He's molding you to be in relationship with Him. He's molding you to be in family with Him. You see, everyone in this building this morning has family that might not do the right thing. Every person in this building, if I asked you to hold up your hand and say, do you have a family member that's kind of like that?
Yeah.
But you know what? They're family, aren't they? And you take them in. And you love them. It's a great picture of what God does for us, isn't it? Because sometimes I don't make the right decision. Sometimes I don't do the right thing. Sometimes it's difficult to do the right thing. Sometimes I go in and try to do the right thing out of the wrong spirit. You see, it's difficult. But God in His mercy and grace has provided everything we need in every moment, in every aspect of our life. When you entered into relationship with Christ, if you're pursuing after the house of Christ, if you're doing what He asked you to do, you're doing exactly what it says in Ephesians 2. He's doing in you exactly what it says in Ephesians 2 and 10. We are His workmanship created unto good works. Created unto good works. His workmanship. You see, I'm longing to be this morning His workmanship. It should be our goal this morning to be His workmanship. I want Him to work. I want Him to remodel. I want Him to take out what needs to be taken out and add on and put in and do what needs to be done in my life. He's moving in me. He's moving in you. He's moving in this body. And we should be producing what the Holy Spirit wants us to produce. The effectual working of God on this earth. We should be producing what God needs us to produce. He's making children that respond to Him into men and women of His Spirit. You see, my goal in life is to be a man of God. Not to stand before you and hold that up, but when I sit down somewhere in an airport, that people can know and feel the Holy Spirit in me. When I walk past somebody in a mall, they can see the power of God on me. That they know that God is doing something. When I go to my job, people can see who Christ is, and they can come and they can ask questions. That I can tell them about Christ. That I can raise my family in a Christian way, that my children will see that although I'm not perfect, I'm following after Jesus Christ. God is building that in us, and He's continuing that in us. God is attempting to bring salvation, redemption, and sanctification to every man, woman, and child on this earth. That's His goal. He's equipping you and I with talents to further His kingdom. He's given us abilities to further His kingdom. He places you where you need to be. He gives you abilities that you need to have to do what He wants you to do. He gives you what you need at the exact right time when you need it, so that you can play your exact part in the kingdom, so that you can do what needs to be done to make Christ king. You see, we're not all here this morning for our own schemes, are we? Some of us might have woke up this morning and might not have really wanted to come. And you know what? That's all right. But you know what? You yielded to God. And you're doing what He wants you to do. And my prayer is that you're getting something out of this Word. My prayer is that He is working in you, that He is doing in you. My prayer, my goal is that you draw closer to Him. That you find victory in Him. That you don't follow entirely after me. That you respect what I'm preaching, that you will go home and reread what I've asked you to read, that you would search it out for yourself and understand that I'm leading you to Jesus Christ. And that if I can lead you to Jesus Christ, you'll find victory. See, your victory is not found in me. And your victory is not found in this place. And your victory is not found in a certain song. And your victory is not found in a certain message or a certain thing. Your victory is found in Jesus Christ. He's equipping you. He's giving you everything you need. He's, by the power of His Holy Spirit, working in you because you've embraced Him. You've opened the door to true relationship with Jesus Christ. You've placed your confidence exclusively in Jesus Christ and what He's done for you. Again, when you came to Christ, you were unhappy, you were suffering, you were in debt, and in return, He took you in. He protected you, and He's changing you, and He's paid your sin debt in full. He's given you victory in full. You might not have realized it yet. You might still be on the path of finding it, but your victory is provided through Him. Your peace is provided through Him, and everything you need is provided through Him. He's given you the Spirit to fight the battle. The battle of this carnal mind, the battle of this flesh, that we might make Jesus king. And as I started out, it's not the majority. Typically, it's the minority. It's not done by one or two. It's not done by the majority. But it's done by the few who will make Christ king. If we go back and we read our text, we see that out of all the fighting men that we read about there with David, it looks like only one fourth went to fight with David. The three-fourths, they went to fight with Saul. You're never going to be a majority. So if you want to be a majority, you have to go to Saul's camp. You have to run the flesh. You have to run the pride. You have to pump up self. If you don't want opposition, if you don't want people talking about you, if you don't want people saying things about you, if you don't want people calling you names, you have to go to the house of Saul. If you don't want to accomplish anything for God, if you don't want to do anything that He has for you, if you don't want to follow after His will, if you don't want to use the talents and gifts that He's given you, then you can go to the house of Saul. If you don't want to affect anyone in your life that you come in contact with, if you don't want to affect those family members that I know you've been praying for, then you can go stand in the house of Saul. If you want to waste your life and everything that Christ has provided for you at His cross, you can stand in the house of Saul. The cry of our hearts should be this morning, church, God, use me. Lord, I want what You want. Above all else in my life, do it in me. Change me. Move me. Give me Your Spirit. Help me to yield to You. You're never going to be the most popular. And you know what? God never called you to. You might not succeed in everything you need to succeed in, that you think you need to succeed in your life. But God never called you to be a success, did He? He called you to follow after Him, to put Him first. You don't know the decisions you make that are going to affect other people in this life. You don't know the character that you draw off of Him, how others are going to perceive that and make a change because of who you are. And they see Jesus Christ working in you and who He is coming out of you. But above all else, we have to know who He is. We have to know what He's done and what He can do for us. And it's all found through Jesus Christ. I'm trying to hurry here. Just give me a few more minutes. Those that are making Jesus king are coming from all over the world. They're coming from all types of ministries. They're coming from different parts of this earth. And they're coming together to make Jesus Christ king. We're not the only ones. There are some larger, and I'm sure there are some smaller. We're not the only ones. But we're standing together, leaders, believers, Christians, not under a pastor, not under a plan, not under a program, but under Jesus Christ as the head of the church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. I thank God for the leadership of Christ. I thank God for the message that was given to this church. I thank God for the message that we continue to carry. If it wasn't for this message of Christ and Him crucified, I can truly tell you this morning that I would be in the house of Saul. I would be pumping up pride. I would be pumping up flesh. I would be standing on my works, trying to promote my own righteousness if it weren't for this message of faith and grace. But oh, the day the Lord sent someone to tell me who Jesus Christ was. Oh, the day the Lord sent a messenger to tell me about Christ and Him crucified. Oh, the day that I yielded to Him, church, and I opened up my heart and my life to Him, and I said, Jesus Christ, truly come in and truly change me and truly work on me. The day that He changed me, when He guided me into true personal relationship with Him. You see, we don't know how important it is that we've been made a part of this ministry. You might not know how important it is that you hold in your heart what you hold concerning the message of Christ and Him crucified. You might not know how important it is that you hold in your heart the message of this word, the gospel of Jesus Christ. You might not understand how important it is. Your placement is not by accident. You hearing this message either in this building today or by CD or by the internet, it's not a mistake. God doesn't make mistakes. He's doing something, church, and He wants us to draw after Him. He wants to draw you to Him. You've got to understand how valuable you are. You've got to understand your position in Christ. He's called you here not just to be a receiver, but to be a giver. Not just of your money, but of your faith and of your prayers and of your time and of the talents and gifts that He's given you. Not to do it because you want to be seen. Not to do it because you want to say you do it. Not to do it out of the wrong spirit. But to do it because you've yielded to Him and He's asking you to do it. It's not all about you. It's not all about me. It's not all about this church. It's all about making Jesus Christ King. It's all about making Jesus Christ Lord of Lords, King of Kings, the fairest of 10,000. It's all about placing Jesus Christ in His proper position and surrendering to Him. Thank God for the message that was given. Thank God for the messenger who sent the message. Thank God for those out there that are continuing to spread the message. Thank God for those that are out there that are learning this message. Thank God for the ones that are out there that are leading this message. It all needs to happen. Some with their responsibilities. You with your responsibilities. Me with my responsibilities. But we're working together to make Jesus Christ King. Amen. We're not working together to set man up on a throne. We're not working together to set a church up bigger than any other church in the community. You see, because when we begin to go down that way, when we begin to go down that path that, well, I'm better, I've got the message. Well, our church had 400 yesterday because we did this, or we're going down the wrong way. If you've got a big church, thank God for it. Preach the message of the cross. Lead them to Jesus Christ. Lead them to who He is and what He's done. Don't lead them to some man behind a pulpit that's just as sinful as you are. Don't lead them to some plan that a man has come up with. Lead them to Jesus Christ, who He is and what He's done. And then true victory will be found. Give Him praise in this place. You see, 25 years ago, I came to Jesus Christ in debt, in distress, a sinner, to a man named Jesus Christ who opened His arms to me and said, come in. He saved me. He accepted me into His kingdom by simple faith on what He's done. He changed my life. He brought things about in me that this world could have never brought. He took things out of me that this world could never think to take out of me. He raised me up from an upbringing that I should have never made it out of. He helped me. He changed me. But you see, He came to me again 10 years ago and He asked me, would you come to the camp of David? Would you come in to the camp of Jesus Christ? Would you yield yourself to Jesus Christ fully and truly? Would you find true relationship? He invited me in the camp that elevates His way, not my way. He began to work, making me a man of His Spirit, not of man of this world, not of man of religion. But I find as I continue to walk with Him each day that there's so much more to learn, that there's so much more of me that needs to be taken out, that there's so much more of me that I need to give to Him, that there's so much more of me that I need to yield to Him. It's going to take a lot more grace, but you know what? His grace is there for me. His grace is more than I could ever want. His grace is more than I could ever imagine. He put me where I need to be. And He put you where you need to be. As we close today, if you would stand, with every head bowed, with every eye closed, He's making us into men and women of God. He's making us into men and women that want to follow Christ. He's taking us into Christ's house. He's taking us into David's camp. And my question this morning is, which group do you belong in today? Are you traveling with Saul? Are you going to Saul's camp? It's easy. There's popularity there. There's many people there. There's a lot of activity going on there. People are very busy there. But you see, David's camp is just a little bit harder. Pride has to go away. Flesh has to be done away with. You have to completely yield yourself to the moving and operation of the Holy Spirit and to what Christ wants to do in your life. You see, by the grace of God, I'm going to stay with Jesus Christ. I want to become what God wants me to be. I want Him to take away the things that don't need to be in my life. I want Him to add the things that He wants me to have. I want to be content in the place that He set me. I want to find true joy and true victory in the place that He's put me. I want to be everything that He wants me to be. I want to be the best person that He can make me. I want to find my righteousness in Him. I was in distress. I was unhappy. I was in debt. He took me in. He saved me. But He not only saved me, He sanctified me. And in return, all that He asked that I do was place Him first in my life. This morning, again, as I look across this congregation, I know you've heard this type of message before. I know where most of your faith is at. But for some reason, the Holy Spirit wanted to remind us this morning that this little body, this little group of people who is following after Jesus Christ, who continually preaches the same thing week after week, Jesus Christ, who continually follows after the Word of God, who continually puts their faith in Jesus Christ, as unpopular as it may be, as much as some may scoff or laugh at us, Jesus Christ is moving in your life. He's doing something in your life. He's moving in this church. And I'm telling you this morning, if you'll simply place your faith in Him, He's going to do it. Father God, we come to You today and we thank You for the message. We thank You for what You've done, Lord Jesus. We thank You for reminding us, Lord, that we must walk after You. Lord, as the people are in their seats right now, humbly standing in Your presence, Lord Jesus, and we recognize and we feel Your Holy Spirit moving right now. We recognize Your presence in this place, Lord. I would ask the question, Lord Jesus, am I following truly after You? Have I set my faith completely in Your house, Lord Jesus? Lord, help us today, Lord. Build it in our heart. Grow it in our heart, Lord God, to follow after You, Lord Jesus. Lord, in each and every believer in this building today, Lord Jesus, each and every person that might listen to this CD, Lord God, let them know that the house of Saul is not the way to victory. The house of Saul is not the way to peace, to joy, to righteousness. The house of Christ, the relationship, the true relationship with God, the true relationship with that substitute man that took my sin and gave me victory. This is where true relationship, true righteousness, true redemption is found, Lord. Lord, we thank You, Lord Jesus, and we ask it in Your name that You would continue this work in us, Lord Jesus. In Your name we pray. Amen.